Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Vicky Phelan says more local authorities should follow Donegal County Council's lead in calling for the abolition of the HSE. It's been claimed an ongoing row over the jurisdiction of Lough Foyle is leading to a proliferation of unlicensed and unregulated oyster farms. The Government Chief Whip says Donegal is in a strong position to benefit from the new rural development scheme, and Donegal County Council is to write to the Health Minister and the Sealta Hospital Group seeking the opening of a maternity theatre at Letterkenny University Hospital. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the family of a Bunquana woman who died from cervical cancer have been speaking of their search for justice for their loved one. Miriam O'Brien had a smear test in 2011 which didn't flag any concerns, but just 9 months later was diagnosed with stage 2 cancer in Belfast. Miriam passed away on August the 25th, 2013 at the age of 34. Her family is taking legal action against the HSE and labs used by Cervical Check through solicitor Pat McMiler of PA Dorian. They have yet to determine if Miss O'Brien is included in the official figures of the 18 women who died after smear tests were misread. Miriam's sister Danielle Miley spoke earlier on the 9 till noon show.
Miriam, as I said, you know, we keep going back to it, that she initiated these proceedings because she felt she was wronged based on what she was being told in Belfast. You know, we're also aware that Belfast did make contact with Cervical Check during Miriam's treatment in Belfast. So she was doing this obviously for herself, and that it wouldn't happen to anybody else, because in ways she felt that she was the only one.
And the delay in getting a resolution to this, what kind of pressure and stress is that putting on the likes of yourself, Susan, and more importantly, I suppose, Rachel, Miriam's daughter? Is it compounding the issue?
Well, it is absolutely compounding it, but we just want to ensure that Miriam is treated in the same way as everybody else. You know, if she... You asked Matt there a few minutes ago, is it because Miriam went to the north, did that make a difference? Mm. But all of Miriam's smear tests prior to 2012, prior to her diagnosis, were done in the south and through Cervical Check. So if she's not one of, you know, part of the current Cervical Check scandal, you know, that's kind of what we're trying to find out. Is she part of it? Because all of her treatment... Oh, sorry, all of her smear tests prior to her treatment and diagnosis were in the south. So the fact that she went to the north for treatment should not make any difference.
Meanwhile, Vicky Phelan says more local authorities should follow Donegal County Council's lead in calling for the abolition of the HSE. Ms Phelan, whose case revealed the Cervical Check scandal, has expressed her frustration at a lack of accountability within the executive, and that the decision makers that are moving on are doing so in favourable terms. Also speaking on the 9 till noon show earlier today, the 43-year-old from Limerick says she could not allow the information she received to be kept private.
In the course of the preparations for the court case, we got some documents through Discovery, and it became quite clear then. We had one of the correspondences we got back showed clearly that there were 14 other women that included that I knew about through my case that came under my gynaecologist. And at that stage, we were in shock, to be honest, my solicitors and myself. At that stage, there was no way I was going to sit on that kind of information, because I could not live with myself. If there were 14 other women, as far as I was concerned, they had to know as well. So I was never going to sign a non-disclosure agreement for that reason. But then to actually go further, and you know, when the case broke, and to find out that this is, you know, far bigger than what I originally thought, you know, it's mind-boggling, to be honest.
I think we had an opportunity really to rid ourselves of a lot of the secrets and cover-ups when this first broke, and the Minister of Health took to his feet, and he was getting information just prior to speaking, and we've saw accusation and denial all the way through, and as you say, it's still ongoing. Where does that leave you, and what you think of what you've learned over the course of the last number of weeks?
I'm not shocked, to be honest, because I work in the public sector, Greg. That's the problem. I'm not shocked because I know how difficult it is to get rid of people within the public sector because there is no accountability, you know, unfortunately, in the HSE where you're dealing with people's lives. You know, it just means that the level of accountability needs to be that much more stringent because you are dealing with people's lives. People have died over this scandal, and I think, you know, if something doesn't change now, I don't think people are going to stand for it at this stage.
The government chief whip says Donegal is in a strong position to benefit from the new rural development scheme, but preparatory work needs to begin now. Yesterday, the Taoiseach launched new funds to tackle rural development, urban regeneration, climate action and innovation as part of Project Ireland 2040. Donegal County Council is now being urged to consider possible projects for inclusion in the scheme with a view towards being ready to start work on a number of programmes by the end of the year. Minister Joe McHugh says it is important now that the right projects are delivered for Donegal.
We are in a very good position because Letterkenny has been identified as a regional centre and a regional driver of growth within the National Development Plan. But on top of that, we have a number of projects in the county where there is a collaborative approach. The local authority has underpinned a lot of this work. So what I would be saying now to the local authority members in Donegal is to look at a priority list, whether it's in marine, whether it's community, whether it's town, village, to look at what projects will satisfy the criteria. And the criteria is how to make rural areas sustainable. It's looking at employment. It's looking at growth.
When can we expect to see meat on the bones, effectively? When can we expect to see funding confirmed and diggers in fields?
We're looking at funding approval as soon as October. And then we'll be looking at starting projects early in the new year. It's quite ambitious. It covers a broad spectrum. But one thing we have in Donegal is a history and a legacy of being creative in how we've acquired funding. We've done it on a collaborative basis down the years through different Interreg projects and cross-border applications, be it in science, be it in research. And I believe we will be in a very advantageous position. I've already spoken to the county manager in relation to this fund, and what I would like to see, and I think will happen, that it won't just be one single department looking at one project. It'll be a number of departments plus local authority, and that local bottom-up approach will be critical in ensuring that we get the right projects for the community that we serve.
Sinn Féin has accused the housing minister of manipulating the homelessness figures. The figures released last night showed a small drop in the number of people living in emergency accommodation. However, in Donegal, 30 people presented themselves as homeless last month, a 15% increase on figures from March. There's been calls for recording of the statistics to be taken out of the hands of the department after claims homeless people were wrongly moved off the list. Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson is Owen O'Brien.
For the second month in a row, homeless families have been removed from the figures. 297 adults and children in Dublin and Meath have simply disappeared. This brings the total number of people removed from the homeless figures in the last 2 months to 875. Now, Minister Murphy claims that these people are not homeless, but the local authority housing managers disagree.
The National Transport Authority has confirmed that leap card services are to be rolled out to 11 services across County Donegal within the next few months. The scheme, which was introduced in 2011, enables passengers to avail of up to 20% off fares when paying for journeys on a number of public transport routes. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle says people within the county will now have access to the same discounts as other parts of the country. However, it's not yet clear if Bus Éireann will provide LEAP-compatible ticketing machines on its expressway routes. Foil MP Alicia McCallion says despite concerns from business owners in Derry, there is widespread understanding that the A2 Buncrana Road redevelopment is a necessity. Speaking following a meeting with business owners situated along the proposed route, Ms McCallion says the A2 is viewed as a strategic route linking the city and County Donegal. She says while there are a number of concerns, it is about agreeing a way forward to enable the delivery of the route in fitting with the potential development of the surrounding area.
I think in the outset it's important to say that everyone that was at the meeting understood the necessity for the A2. The A2 is not simply a road to look at congestion and traffic. The A2 is a strategic route for the city, one which will directly link the city to our neighbours in Donegal, and there was a sense from everyone at the meeting that there was a need for the project in its totality. However, that said, of course, there were a number of concerns raised by businesses, primarily in relation to right-hand turns on the junction. But what we have agreed to do with all of those businesses is to bring the department around the table to look to see if there's any viable options that would mean that their businesses wouldn't be too badly affected with the A2 development.
And is it hoped that these concerns will be heard before further development does take place?
Well, certainly I would hope so. And I think the fact that the department are currently consulting on the proposals means that it's absolutely the right time to have these discussions with the department. Of course, there were a number of proposals that were put to me at yesterday's meeting, but I thought it would be appropriate if we had a collective response to go to the department with some potential options. That's why Retail NI have undertook to take on a piece of professional work that could look at the best options that would suit all of the retailers.
Pro-choice campaigners have taken illegal abortion pills outside Belfast main court buildings in defiance of strict termination laws. The North is the only part of the UK where abortion is not legal except in certain circumstances. The protest comes days after Ireland's vote to repeal the Eighth Amendment. Edwin Poots from the DUP doesn't believe abortion should be introduced in the North.
8 million babies have lost their lives in the United Kingdom as a result of the law that exists. So why would anybody want to see children having their lives taken away in the way that that has happened across the UK? Abortion law does need reform in the UK when one considers that there's 8 million babies since 1967 haven't had the chance of life.
It's been claimed that an ongoing row over the jurisdiction of Lough Foyle is leading to a proliferation of unlicensed and unregulated oyster farms along the Lough's Inishowen shore. It is estimated that since 2014, the number of oyster trestles on the Lough has increased from 2,000 to over 30,000. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin has expressed frustration after questioning Minister Michael Creed on what efforts were being made to address the issue and facilitate proper licensing and regulation of oyster farming on the Lough. He says due to the dispute over the jurisdiction of the Lough, what is left is a Wild West scenario.
These trestles and these farms are not licensed, they're not regulated. The local community didn't get to have their say. The oyster farmers themselves, it's not sustainable because under EU food safety rules, you have to have the licensing and regulation of all food products. So it's not good or sustainable for them either. But this is a mess for everybody here, and the responsibility lies with both the Irish and British government for not resolving the jurisdictional conflict that takes place over Lough Foyle and creating this mess.
And due to the ownership of Lough Foyle, Minister Creed is effectively saying he can't take responsibility for this.
The British government, we know, claims jurisdiction, claims ownership of the entirety of Lough Foyle. The Irish government say they dispute this. But even though we are now over 20 years after the Good Friday Agreement, even though we have the Lochs Agency that managed much of the fishery resource in Lough Foyle, we haven't resolved this issue. And it's in relation to aquaculture, and it's in relation to foreshore licences that would be come along with those aquaculture licences, in this case oyster farming licences. So the whole thing is like the Wild West. It really is outrageous that the local community didn't get to have their say about the proliferation of these oyster farms, and we have this mess on our hands, and unfortunately there's no sign of it being solved. I have raised this now at local level, national level, and I can tell you I'll be raising it at European level until we get an answer to what's going on here.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the bank holiday with sizzling summer specials all weekend.
It's now 5:15 and time's the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with rugby, and Joey Carbery has confirmed that he's leaving Leinster to join Munster. The versatile back is set to pen a 2-year contract with the Reds as he bids to get regular rugby at out half ahead of next year's World Cup. 22-year-old Carbery was used mainly as fullback by Leinster this season, with Ross Byrne primarily covering for Johnny Sexton at number 10. Ireland head coach Joe Smith says he left it to the player to make up his own mind.
I'd understand why Leinster would be desperately keen to hang on to him, and why Munster would feel that it's a huge bonus for them. Once things get worked out, that it's possible for him to do it. So that's the decision he's made. As much as possible, apart from him, you know, catching up with me at one stage, which was kind of nicely photographed. I've left them to it.
In other news, Ireland captain Rory Best, he's out of the tour of Australia with a hamstring injury. Munster's Niall Skinnell has been called up as a replacement. Moving on to soccer, and Graham Burke looks set to feature for the Republic of Ireland against the USA on Saturday. Now, the Shamrock Rovers attacker won his first international cap against France on Monday, and he's staying with the squad after it was confirmed he'll miss the Hoops tie with Dundalk tomorrow evening. Seamus Coleman is pleased with how the League of Ireland player has settled into the squad.
He's been great, and not just because he's sitting beside me. He's been he's come in, he's been very composed, very relaxed about the place. It helps that he's a very good player as well. He's technically very good. He's been very comfortable, hasn't looked out of place, and you know, he's come into the group very well, and he's very liked amongst the squad. And you know, it was great to see him come on. It was great for the league, and you know, hopefully he'll get to play on Saturday and show his stuff in front of the home crowd, because he is very talented.
Jeff Hendrick, he's recovered from a back injury and returned to training with the squad, but Harry Arter and Derek Williams, they sat out the session. Bohemians goalkeeper Shane Supple has been released to play with his club against Limerick before rejoining the squad on Saturday. Well, in the League of Ireland, it's a busy bank holiday weekend for Finn Harps. They have two important First Division games at Finn Park. Tomorrow evening, they play Athlone Town, and then on Monday, they welcome Longford Town to Ballybuffet. Harps, who sit fifth on the table, are 7 points behind leaders UCD. They're looking to keep their promotion push on track by seeking out decent results over the coming days. A depleted player list has got slightly better, with Tommy McBride and Mark Coyle back from suspension. Harps boss Ollie Horgan says they can't lose any more ground on the sides around them.
Every game, obviously, you know, you can say is important, but like, if we don't pick up points fairly soon, we'll run out of games, to put it that way to you. We were on a good run and maybe picked up results against the better sides, or the so-called better sides. It's hard to know who the better sides are in the division, as competitive as it is. But we picked up, you know, a few late winners against the likes of Galway and Longford, that maybe a little bit of luck fell in our way. That little bit of luck, or you know, even that maybe didn't go our way in the last week or two. That's not an excuse as regards Cove. We weren't good enough against Cove, to their credit. But yeah, we need to stay in touch. If we go too far behind, regardless of what the transfer window can take or take away, you know, we won't bridge the gap on the basis that we'll run out of games, you know, if we fall any further behind.
Cross channel, Marco Silva's the new manager at Everton. The former Hull boss was wanted at Goodison Park since November, but they couldn't get permission to speak to him from the then employers, Watford. The fallout from that standoff cost Silva his job at the Premier League rivals. He replaces Sam Allardyce, who was sacked earlier this month. And Zinedine Zidane's stepped down as Real Madrid boss just 5 days after winning the Champions League for a third season in a row. His side defeated Liverpool 3-1 on the final in Kiev, and the former French midfielder took over in January 2016 after current Newcastle manager Rafa Benitez was sacked. Real have been crowned European champions in every campaign under Zidane's management, and also won the Spanish title in 2017. And back in England, Frank Lampard says it feels great to be in his first job in management at Derby. The former England and Chelsea midfielders signed a 3-year deal at the Sky Bet Championship Club. In Gaelic games, Cian O'Sullivan is back in training with Dublin's footballers ahead of their Leinster Senior Football semi-final against Longford next month. The five-time All-Ireland winner has been out since suffering a shoulder injury in March. In golf in the PGA Tour this week, it's a memorial tournament taking place in Ohio. Rory McIlroy, he tees off a little later. Shane Lowry's on the course. He's 1 over par through 14 holes. Tiger Woods also on the course. He's 3 over through 13 holes. Leading the way is Abraham Anser of Mexico. He's 7 under par through 17. 1 ahead of Bo Hostler. He's 6 under through 17. In the European Tour, it's the Italian Open this week, taking place in Brescia. Paul Dunne's 2 under after a 69. Patrick Harrington and Graham McDowell are both on 1 under par. Harrington has played 12 holes. McDowell has played 10. Play has been suspended there due to lightning. Robert Rock and Laurie Cantor, they lead the way, both on 8 under par after rounds of 63 today. In tennis, men's top seed Rafa Nadal has had a straight sets win in his French Open second round match against Guido Pella. Men's singles third seed Marin Cilic, he's been defeated by he has beaten Poland's Hubert Hurkacz in four sets. And in the ladies section, Gabrielle Muguruza, she's safely through to the third round. The 2016 champion has beaten French woman Fiona Ferro in straight sets. Finally, for this evening, there was a success for Dinishoan primary schools at this week's FAI Fives National Finals at the Aviva Stadium in Dublin. In the Girls A Cup for small schools, the winners were St Bridget's National School in Glenmeek, Carndonagh. St Bridget's Ellie Long was named player of the tournament in the A Cup. Inishoan's second success came in the form of Skull Isagon Buncrana, who won the Girls C Cup for large schools. Jodie Lowry was named the player of the tournament in that section. And Donegal had further representation as the boys from St Oran's Cockhill, the girls from Skull Cronje Dunlow, and the boys from Skull Isagon Buncrana were all there as Ulster champions and all performed bravely. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. The Taoiseach says a prosperous Britain is good for Ireland. Simon Coveney believes a positive relationship between the EU and the UK and between Ireland and Britain is in all our interests. He says the UK has always been one of the country's closest partners and hopes to continue this strong relationship after Brexit. He addressed the British-Irish Chamber of Commerce annual networking dinner in Dublin last night. The Chambers warned that a lack of progress in Brexit negotiations is of utmost concern to business. Donegal County Council is to write to the Health Minister on the Sealta Hospital Group seeking the opening of the maternity theatre at Letterkenny University Hospital. The issue was raised by Councillor Liam Doherty, who told a meeting in Lifford this week that the theatre could be commissioned as part of a programme to address waiting lists, but that hasn't happened because staffing levels are not increasing. Councillor Doherty says one standard operating theatre at the hospital has to remain free at all times in the case it's needed for emergency childbirths while the maternity theatre is lying idle. He says that's a ridiculous situation.
Just think it's a wee bit ridiculous. 18 years after it was built, it's still lying derelict as such there when it could be put to great use there, and it's with the long waiting lists there, with the other theatre being held up in case of cesarean sections, emergencies, it's really holding the hospital back. Talking to the management there, it's down to the lack of staff and the lack of the government's input to it.
The Justice Minister says he will wait to see if there's any disciplinary action within the Gardaí before considering a public inquiry into the death of Shane O'Farrell. The 23-year-old law student died after being knocked down while cycling near Carrickmacross in County Monaghan 7 years ago. The driver of the car involved was on bail at the time, and there's calls for an inquiry into how Gardaí handled his convictions. A GSOC investigation has found no criminal wrongdoing by Gardaí, but Minister Charlie Flanagan says there's more to look at before considering a public inquiry.
There's still an investigation underway that could result in a recommendation for disciplinary action, but it remains the case that the GSOC disciplinary process must be completed before any decision on what further action can be taken. Once the GSOC investigation is completed, the question as to whether there remain issues that require further investigation will be fully and transparently considered.
For weather now, dry in most areas this evening. There will be a few isolated showers. Tonight will be mainly dry, turning misty in places with fog patches and lowest temperatures of 11 to 14 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the family of a Buncrana woman who died from cervical cancer have been speaking of their search for justice for their loved one. Miriam O'Brien had a smear test in 2011 which didn't flag any concerns, but just 9 months later was diagnosed with stage 2 cancer in Belfast. Meanwhile, Vicky Phelan says more local authorities should follow Donegal County Council's lead in calling for the abolition of the HSE. Ms Phelan, whose case revealed the cervical check scandal, has expressed her frustration at a lack of accountability within the executive and that the decision makers that are moving on are doing so in favourable terms. The government chief whip says Donegal is in a strong position to benefit from the new rural development scheme, but preparatory works need to begin now. Yesterday, the Taoiseach launched new funds to tackle rural development, urban regeneration, climate action and innovation as part of Project Ireland 2040. And the National Transport Authority has confirmed that leak card services are to be rolled out to 11 services across County Donegal within the next few months. The scheme, which was introduced in 2011, enables passengers to avail of up to 20% off fares when paying for journeys on a number of public transport routes. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Thursday evening, May the 31st. The death has taken place of Dominic Figgs Hegarty, 68 Woodend Road, Strabane. Remains are reposing at his home tomorrow from 12 noon. Fionn leaving his home on Saturday morning at 20 past 10 for Requiem Mass in the Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road, Strabane at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Rheumatoid Arthritis, Kev Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Eileen McGinley, Main Street, Fulcara. Removal from Fulcara Nursing Unit this evening at 5:30, going to her late residence. Funeral Mass on Saturday at 12 o'clock in St Finian's Church, Fulcara, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has taken place of Charlie Sweeney, Knock a Stroller, Bombay. Remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral on Saturday afternoon in St Mary's Chapel, Derrybeg at 2 o'clock and burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Rosary both nights at 9 o'clock and house private after the rosary until 10 o'clock. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to Gidor Day Centre, care of any family member or Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director. The sudden death has occurred in England of baby Casey Lee Enos, a granddaughter of Carmel Doherty, 15 Fairgreen Gardens, Drumquin, and formerly of Gidor. Casey Lee's remains are reposing at the home of her nanny Carmel. Funeral from Carmel's home on Saturday morning at 20 past 10 for Mass of the Angels at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Langfield, Drumquin, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The death has taken place of Elizabeth McFeeters, 69 Bells Park Road, Strabane. Funeral service in the Kingdom Hall tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Ernie Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Alzheimer's Society, Foyle Branch, a care of William Key, Funeral Director. House strictly private, please, at the request of the deceased. And the death has taken place of Jim Devine, 25, Coleman Falls, Strabane, and formerly of Ashgrove Park, Strabane. Remains are reposing at Quigley's Funeral Home, Strabane, this evening from 5:30, with removal to St Mary's Church, Melmount at 7 o'clock. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors.